All right, well, once again, welcome back to another episode of Truth Over the Noise. I'm, again, one of your hosts, Nathan Woltman, and the network director of TIL Radio Network. And with me, as always, is Trey Cochran. So glad to have you with me again tonight. Hopefully feeling a little bit better this week.
Man, I'm feeling so much better. Thank you so much for the prayers. I felt every single one of them.
Yes, and we're so glad that you are feeling better, and we know that God had to have healed you, because the time between the last two episodes for us was very short. So this has been great. So again, we can't praise God enough for his healing ability. Amen. With you. So there. But hey, Trey, we're getting into another chapter here with the music, and
yes,
I'm excited about this particular chapter
dealing
with emotions. But before we get into the emotional weight of this music debate, let's do a quick recap, and and also I keep failing to do this part, so I'm gonna do this right off the bat, Trey, and that is I need to remind our folks that not only you can listen to us wherever you're listening to us on your favorite podcast, whatever it is, but you can also listen to us on our website, truthoverthenoise.com. But I want to remind everybody, please follow, like, subscribe, however it is that's on there. We've got a ton of different places that we are on. In fact, if I remember correctly, I counted 16 different podcast either apps or online services that we are located on right now. So between that and also our website. So wherever you listen to, that is perfectly fine. But make sure wherever you listen to, make sure you're following us. Hit the follow button so that way every time that it pops up, you're catching the latest, newest episode of Truth Over the Noise. And I keep forgetting to tell everybody that in the previous episode, so we're doing that now while it is fresh on my mind. So please do that. That helps us out, by the way, but it also helps you out, because it helps you to, it reminds you of, hey, I got a new episode out, I got to listen to this. So make sure you do that there. And then as for our website, we don't actually technically, I guess, have a follow on the website, but hey, you showing up is what counts. And so we're so glad to have you along with us wherever you are listening to us. All right, let's do a quick recap of last week. If you missed out on last week, we still want you to go back and listen to that episode. But if you're just catching us right here in the middle of all this, we just got through talking about chapter 2 of Ben Everson's book, If Not Unison, Then Harmony. We're talking about playlist theology. And as a quick reminder again of Ben Everson, he's a lifelong conservative church musician, son of Dr. Dana F. Everson, and he was shaped by Dr. Frank Garlock. And he spent roughly 40 years teaching that certain music elements, especially the rock backbeat, were inherently sinful. And he's now revised that. His argument is not anything goes. It's that the moral meaning of music comes from the whole package: lyrics, style, associations, context, intent, and fruit together, not from one isolated ingredient. Since faithful Christians weigh that package differently, the goal is to have harmony, not unison necessarily in everything, but we're going to have harmony with our music. So, quick recap again of chapter 2 for anyone who missed it. Everson's honest audit of what a conservative music movement got wrong. So we were dealing with the past in the last episode, talking about where it kind of got started in the modern sense. And his critique of it was that it was not the men, but the machinery in which it was being founded upon that kind of put it all together. That's, by the way, a quote out of his book. And 6 breakdowns of association replacing discernment, oversimplified charts, application elevated over the principle, pressure instead of discipleship, and neglect of the Holy Spirit, and an over-reliance on shaky psychology. In particular, we talked about the Mozart effect. And so those 6 elements, plus he closed with the scripture, and we closed with some scripture, with scripture must lead in everything that we're talking about with music. So no more pseudoscience, no more secular mysticism. It is scripture that we have to base off of when we're dealing with music, and we're looking at the different styles, the different lyrics, the associations, the context, the intent, the fruit, all together. We're taking it from a biblical worldview. So tonight, where we sit now is, or today, I guess you should say, chapters 1 and 2 were the book setup. Now we're kind of getting into where he is laying out a case of a positive case of where we can clear out some emotional minefields here in chapter 3. And if we get some time, we're going to try to get into chapter 4, where he lays some groundwork on how the music actually works. So, Trey, getting into this, the emotional weight of the music debate, music has an emotion. It's a place in which it can be memorized. It has memory to it. It is, it's worship itself, and it has an identity of its own self. And so as we get into it, Trey, let me ask you this, a quick question. I'm going to jump down here, actually, one of the questions here. When we're dealing with music, I'm getting ahead of myself on my notes here. Let me cut back here real quick. I'm sorry, Trey. This is a lot of notes here, and you're looking at the same notes I am. So I'm going to cut back here. Actually, I'm going to start off with this first before I go ask that question. So first off, it's not just a debate. It's a wound. So a lot of times, a lot of you that are listening, you may have been caught up in this whole thing where, you know, you grew up a certain way. Your parents taught you a certain way. And again, I'm not taking away from that. That's fine. What I am saying here is that now that you're an adult and you're going out on your own and you're seeing these trends, you're seeing, you know, or these other people singing certain ways, different styles. They come to you and they tell you, well, bless God, the music you listened to growing up, you were just rebellious. You're a terrible person for listening to that style of music. You're a terrible person for listening to that artist. You're, you know, all of that. That was kind of being painted along the lines now, and that you're probably facing. So we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about, on the other side, maybe you bullied yourself into it, or you bullied somebody else into listening to a style of music that they didn't feel comfortable with. So Trey, let's talk a little bit about this. So were you ever in one of these two categories?
I was told growing up by some of the members of the church that I grew up in that the music that I listened to, even though it was Christian and it had a good Christian message, wasn't the right kind of music to be listening to. Because the music that they liked was hymns, like Bill and Gloria Gaither stuff, which, don't get me wrong, I love the Gaithers. You can ask Nathan how much I love the Gaithers. I am a big fan
I have
of
stories
the Gaithers.
On that, folks. We'll talk about that at a later time.
I love the Gaithers. I love those songs. Those are the songs I grew up on. Those are the songs that introduced me to Jesus. But when I was about 12 years old, that's when, like, the big CCM kick started to kick in. That was in the 2000s. And we had artists like Chris Tomlin just getting started. David Crowder was just getting started when that happened. We had bands like DC Talk was still a thing. Like, Jesus Freak was so cool to me.
Yeah.
Especially when Toby Mac came in with his part. Like, I had never heard something like that in a Christian song before. And it was just, people were worried about the instruments, and they were worried about the instruments. They didn't pay attention to, like, the lyrics, which is what something that I've always connected to. You want me to love a song? Put some good lyrics with it. Like, and have a good story behind it. Like, what attracts me to a song is the story behind it. Like, every time I hear a new song, I try to go on YouTube and look up a interview with the artist where they talk about the song and they tell the story behind the song that they've written, or they tell the story about why they wanted to record it if they didn't write it. Like, I love it. I love it. Music is just, music makes you feel so many things, and it's just a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And we're going to, and that is a great, and I'm glad you mentioned that, because you're coming in from one side of the perspective, and that's fine. We're going to talk about the other side in here in just a minute, but in both sides of our debate here, I guess you can get, if you want to generalize it into two different sides, you have your conservative music and your your contemporary Christian music sides. Let's then get into that here in a second with, for those of you that like yourself, like you started listening to this and you really loved it, you were painted as a compromiser amongst a lot of the conservative Christians. But in your case, and a lot of the other ones growing up, all you were trying to do was when you went this way and you saw these things, you were like, well, I'm just asking the question, like, is it actually bad? Because honestly, if you had an honest answer back and somebody could give you a honest answer, or I should say, let's be more specific. If the Holy Spirit could, if you could hear the Holy Spirit right now and he said, no, this is bad, you would not listen to that music no more, or at least not without knowingly know that you were doing it. You would no longer be ignorant about it. If you did listen to it, you'd be doing it out of willfulness of your own, flesh. Right. And so you were just asking honest questions. And a lot of other people were doing the same thing. They were just trying to, but the moment they walked into the churches that were, and we're talking like some of the big name churches at that time that were in the conservative realm, not necessarily those that were already flipping over and going toward the CCM music. They were walking into those things and they were just saying, oh, you're just a rebellious person. You're just being a compromiser. But I can say the same thing about the other side too. There was a lot of churches who went this route and were saying, no, we have to listen to this music. We have to sing the songs. We have to do it this way. We can't no longer do the so-called old conservative hymnal music because we're running off our people. The young crowds are not staying. And a lot of those was being done, and they were, and so I'm going to use the quote that was in here. He names people that bullied, and this is in quotes, bullied into accepting music that violated their conscience, and there was no grace or love was shown to them from the so-called progressives. So it was kind of on both sides, and as we talked about in the last episode, where they were starting to become a wedge in the division between the sides, this only produced even a larger wedge in the last 20 to 30 years between the two different groups. And now it's become a generational divide because you've got the younger crowd that is leaning more toward that contemporary Christian style music, and you've got an older crowd that's still hanging on to a conservative hymnal side. And so now we have a debate, but that's not what we want, because right now we're in an argument, we're in a debate that is only causing a further wedge between Christians. And so how do we get past that and see all this? Well, I'm going to say this quote, and then we're going to move on to some other aspects that hopefully once we finish this, it's all going to come back together as one whole that you can then see as our listeners, you can see what we're talking about here. So first off, if you ever walked into one of those situations, let me just tell you, this is a quote from him, from Ben's book. That wasn't the Holy Spirit. That wasn't godly leadership. That was fear, that was pride or insecurity wearing a Bible verse like a mask. Mm-hmm. And as he put it, I am sorry. And he was talking to those of you that have been hurt by this or either bullied into this. Because what was happening was, in the one sense, on the conservative side, out of fear and insecurity, they were like, no, we got to hold true to these things. We cannot let go of what we already know is good, which is true. You shouldn't let go of that. But at the same time, you were dealing with a culture that was very quickly and very swiftly pulling away a younger generation toward things that were, again, ungodly, but nonetheless pulling them away in such a way that they were completely neglecting. Right. So you got to be counterculture. And so, but the other side, out of pride, was like, oh no, we definitely got this right now. And they kind of pushed and bullied their way through. So both sides in this case of what we're describing here is just wrong. Like we didn't take the time to go back to Scripture and allow the Holy Spirit to walk through. Now, I know I am generalizing a lot of people in this. Not everybody is like this. I want to make that clear. So I am very generalizing an overpopulation, particularly that of the United States, and particularly that of the churches within the United States. But if you look at it as a whole, this is exactly what we were dealing with. As a whole, and as a massive over overling of this, a macroeconomic version of this, okay, is what we're dealing with this, okay? But so hold that in your thought. We're going to move on to the next point here, and that is why memory makes it explosive. So we're still dealing with music, mm-hmm. right? Music will bind to your memory.
Oh, absolutely.
Right? So I'm gonna throw something at you here that I thought about earlier before we got on here, and for those of you that are listening, think about a commercial that you heard 20 to 30 years ago, or maybe in some cases if you're young enough, maybe only 10 years ago, that you still remember today because of the little jingle that they put on there. Trey's smiling and nodding his head right now at me. I can see it. It's true. You can probably think of at least one, if not multiples, in some cases, some of you probably think of a dozen or more of commercials that you remember because of either the phrase, lyrics, mm-hmm. or because of the jingle, mm-hmm. the music, that it just sticks with you.
Right.
Right. Well, because music is like that, and it binds the memory, any challenge to your musical preferences can feel like a challenge to your mm-hmm. past. So, still in light of what we were just talking about, the music that you grew up with, that you're so familiar with, that is like deep rooted in your soul, mm-hmm. right? When somebody comes up and talks to you saying, your whole upbringing was wrong, your parents were misguided, your spiritual milestones don't count. Like, those are comments that were being made, not necessarily specifically in that order or in all those, but these were things that were being said in our churches that were like, well, hang on, I maybe I am wrong. I don't know. I'm coming to you to ask, and you're just telling me I'm just wrong.
You're like, not
that
the
doesn't
judge
help
of that.
Me spiritually. Right. Right. The Holy Spirit is. Now, if you then, but, and I'm going to keep going forward with this. You know, and this was his promise in the book here. He says, I'm not here to erase your past, but if anything, I want to protect that. But I also want to learn how to discern beyond our nostalgia. So when you're thinking about the music that you grew up with, you know, you still have to, we don't want you to think that, oh, because of my past, I am who I am and I can't change that. Well, no, that's not true, because even the Bible says that, you know, when you are made in Christ, you are made a new creature. All things pass away, all things become new. So, you know, when you become a Christian, things should change. And part of that change is if you're in the scriptures and you're studying and you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct your heart. And furthermore, even wherever God places you, you know, God has you where you are for a reason. We kind of talked about in the previous series with, you know, worrying mm-hmm. about the future. He knows where you're at right now. So if you trust God and believe that He has your best interest, even the people that are around you, your pastors, your youth leaders, whoever you have, you should be able to also hopefully, and I say hopefully, be able to trust that they have the same mindset, that they want to make sure that they're protecting you as best they can. So if they come to you and they say, hey, you know, you probably shouldn't be listening to this. Okay, that's probably a good indicator to stop, you know, and to think about it. But at the same time, take it to God. Let God and through the Holy Spirit work through you on this as well. Now, I will say this too. Pastors have been given the responsibility and the authority to be the under shepherd of Jesus, and they have the responsibility of guiding and directing you as well. So when they say something, you should probably adhere to it. You know, unless you have a biblical principle from the Bible that completely contradicts that. I like to use the example, especially with kids. Like, you know, if you're doing something and let's say your parents come to you and says, hey, I want you to, you know, go do drugs. Okay. I know this is an oversimplification. We use this, especially the older kids, by the way, not the younger kids, but like we use this with the older kids and we're like, you know, do drugs. Well, you know, from scripture, you probably shouldn't do drugs. Right. So you don't listen to that rhetoric. But when they say, hey, I need you to go do your homework, or I need you to go do, you know, I need you to go mow the lawn or something. Well, that's not something that's wrong. You probably should listen to them on that. You know what I mean? Does that make sense, Trey? Am I making sense on what I'm saying there? Okay, I know. I'm kind of going out on a limb here, but I'm trying to explain what Ben was trying to capture here in the book here. Okay, and what he was trying to say, and that is, listen to the people that God's put over you. Okay, but at the same time, at the very same time, know your scripture, know the Bible, and know what the Holy Spirit is telling you, and if He is telling you that this is good music. And again, I'm not here to speak for that. That's between you and God. And it has to be. You're going to be ultimately responsible for that when we go before God at the judgment seat to be judged for that. But that's why it's so important for you to make sure that you know what you're talking about. But follow what God has to say. Follow the Holy Spirit, and He's not going to lead you astray.
Amen.
So if your past is a certain way, Don't allow that to affect what's going on right now. If you've never taken the time to think about the type of music that you listen to, and the type of whether it's lyrics, association, the music itself, the lyrics, whatever. If you have not taken, this is the time to do so, and to really weigh in. Okay, all right, God, I listen to this song, I listen to this artist, I listen to this style, is this good? Show me in Scripture how I can know for certain that I can know that I can know, just like I know that I'm saved, that this is the type of music that I need to listen to. Have that type of mentality going into this as well. But again, we're not here to erase your past, and all we're trying to do is protect where you grew up with. So if you're in a particular style, hold on to that. That's okay.
No.
You're not wrong. It's okay. Just make sure that you're backing it up with the Holy Spirit on that. But all of that being said, we get into this next point that's in my notes here, and it says, why people get defensive on both sides. Well, I think we kind of touched on that already a little bit, but I want you, Trey, I want to take a second. Why do we get defensive? Like I get why we get defensive, but seriously, like, why are we getting defensive over this? What is causing this defensiveness to pop up?
Hey, I think it's just a natural reaction. Like, people think when someone comes up to them and tells them that, in no uncertain terms, like, you're wrong. Like, to quote a current phrase, those be fighting words. Like, that's just, I think getting defensive is just a natural reaction when something like that happens. And you're right. Like, it's happening on both sides because both sides feel like they're being attacked by the other side.
Yeah. So I to go along with that, I just thought about this. So you've had more of an experience with the contemporary side.
Yes.
At least in the sense you've been and you've met more of the artists than I have. I have only personally been to, I think, two CCM concerts in my lifetime, and both of which I was invited by other people. Hey, come join us. And I'm like, okay, fine, I'll join, just to see what this is all about. Whereas on the other side, I've been more to the more conservative side, a lot more than you probably have. And so this is a great reason why the two of us are going to work together on this very well, because we've seen it on both sides. We've seen both arguments. We've seen things. I was recently at a very particular conference. I won't mention the name of it. Because it's a great conference. But I was recently there a couple years ago, and the whole time on their debate about CCM music was what we're about to get into the next chapter in chapter 4, and that has a lot to do with, well, there's the beat, there's the music. Some of the lyrics are not that, it's very, shallow, very shallow in theology, whatever. It almost kind of feels fleshy, And I heard these talking points and I was like, okay, all right, that's fine. I'm gonna let you go. But then at the end of their whole, because there was a panel, like they were doing a whole like Q&A thing, and people were asking a lot of good questions. And it has been a couple years. I wish I could remember all the questions that were asked there, because this would help me be able to present this just came to my mind. And I was just thinking about, from this point of view, it's like they got all the way up to the point to where they could sit there and say, you know what, actually, it probably isn't that bad. Like, they were arguing against it, but every time they brought up an argument, they almost countered themselves by saying, well, actually, what about this or that? They kept doing that, and eventually, they got to the point and said, well, we just don't think it's the good type of music. You should just sit and listen to it. Like, that was their final argument. And again, I don't want to speak in, that's why I don't want to mention the name of the conference. They had a lot of good points, even from the conservative side. Like, they did have a lot of good points, because one of the things that they did point out was, is a lot of these churches that have gone contemporary, they have, if at the most, have very little amount of it, at the least have very few, like none at all. They have pulled out a lot of those hymns from the church services. I've been to several different churches here, you know, recently, and I've been to these churches where they've been, you know, they've done a, you know, contemporary style music, and I miss those hymns, because they have a lot of doctrine and stuff, you know. And so personally for me, you know, like that's something that I miss. Go ahead,
Trent. That's one thing that I love about the church that you and I go to. They have, their worship is like 100% contemporary, but they have made modern versions of the hymns that we grew up with. So they haven't taken the hymns out of the church. They've just modernized them up a little bit. And that's just some of them. Sometimes they just play it straight.
Right.
Like the way it was written.
Exactly.
Which is, as someone that grew up with the hymns, I love when they bring them back. Because it just, it brings back a little nostalgia to me. And it just, it reminds me of where I was at that point in my life and where I am in my life right now. And that's the music that stayed with me.
Yeah. I was going to say, the thing for me, though, with hymns, though, it's more than just the nostalgia.
Yeah.
It's the doctrine that you find in them. Like, anything that's considered to be a hymn, it has to be doctrinally, like, down the line, biblically doctrinal. Yeah. Like, there has to be, some sort of theology behind it in order to be considered a hymn. Otherwise, it becomes something else. And so when I think about the old hymns, it's more to me about reminding my heart and my soul about what's in the Bible by singing about it.
Yeah.
You know, it's about, you know, it's another way in which I can learn scripture, and that's through the hymns. And even though I don't have, again, I'm saying this again here on this podcast, like you can quote me on this, okay? I don't mind the new contemporary music, but just like in this debate, like I feel like even though I like contemporary, I do like some of it. I would guess would fall into the other more conservative side, whereas you've fallen into the CCM side. Right. And again, nothing wrong. We're not arguing. I want everybody to understand. We're not going to end up arguing.
No,
we're best friends. We're great. This is where the harmony comes into place, okay, folks? And that is, I just wish that we had still had more of the hymns.
Right.
But again, I'm not going to sit there and go into our church and say, bless God, I ain't going to sing here no more because, you know, you don't play enough of the hymns. Well, no, there is some. And I'm glad that our church does that. But there's so many churches that have neglected that.
I agree.
And then there's so many churches, as we've already mentioned, there's so many churches that have neglected the whole fact of being counterculture as well. And not just enticing people to come in through the way that you do things, but staying doctrinally, biblically sound in your foundation as a Bible-believing church. And then, you know, and because of that and through that, you then have these other things. And it's not, and you're not using those, like your music, your concerts, whatever you're doing, you're not using that to be enticing them in and then saying, oh, by the way, yeah, we did this, but actually we believe this. You're not doing that either. You're still standing on the truth that you have founded upon, and you're holding to it, you know? And so those are the churches that I'm seeing growing, and they are flourishing. The churches that aren't counterculture, or the churches that are so much into the bullying of, hey, this is the way we're going to be doing this from here on out. It's going to work. We're going to, you know, whatever. Those churches are failing. And so that's part of the whole thing of what we're talking about here with the music that's why it is so important. And what Ben was trying to point out was so important is that we got to stop attacking each other over this, you know, on either end. But at number two, we got to let the Holy Spirit lead.
Yeah.
And not just not allow our emotional whims and whams to determine, you know, what's, you know, thing. Plus, also, it's your personal relationship with God, mm-hmm. too. So if your relationship with Him, your spirit is open between Him and yourself, and you are, I like to use this as an example. This is probably the best example of the way, the type of person that we should be. If you ever read about Enoch in the Bible?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you have. But for those of our listeners, if you don't know who Enoch is, he is found in Genesis, believe chapter number 5. I want to say, I think it's Genesis chapter number 5. And he's also in the what they call the Hall of Fame of Faith. He's in Hebrews chapter 11. And in both places, it talks about how he walked with God and he was so close to God that his line of communication with Him was so close that when God says, all right, come on to heaven, I guess he died. I don't know. It didn't say that he died. It just said he walked on right up into heaven. Like, it just, like, he was just walking along talking to Jesus. And the next thing he knows, he looks over. Oh, hey, Jesus, how you doing? You're like, he's right there. You're like, you know, talking to God. That was the type of person that Enoch was. We should have a life that is similar to that. If you are going that direction, then I don't think there's going to be any problem in discerning the music. That will probably be one of the easiest things because you're right there with Him, and he's basically telling you, hey, this is what I want you to sing about. You know, I'm going to bring a melody to your heart. So.
Yes.
So again, with this, the goal is through all this, and I know we kind of presented two different sides, and we did talk about the debate here, but but at the same time, the reason why we even did this, folks, is because we want you to understand that we're trying to disarm the emotional battlefield
right
here that people bring up. You can have both sides of this argument here, but one, make sure you can back it up scripturally, you know, and number two, the other thing is that, and this is a quote from his book that Ben was trying to point out, was we just want you to think clearly, biblically, and the help of the Holy Spirit, because you cannot build biblical convictions when you're constantly in an emotional defense mode.
Right.
So if you're constantly trying to defend what you believe in all this, then it's because most likely nobody's really attacking you. You're just trying to make everybody believe the same way. It's kind of like misery loves company, as the old saying goes.
Mm-hmm.
It may be turning into that. So stop trying to defend yourself. Get right with God. And when you are following God and doing what's right, God's going to shine through you, and it's going to be very obvious what is right. So I don't know what else to add to that, Trey, unless you got something else. Otherwise we can go straight into verses, but you go ahead.
No, man, you're good. You're good. You nailed it.
Well, this is some scripture that goes along with this chapter that I want our folks to hear and listen to. So first off, Psalm 63 and verse number 4, and it says, thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24 through 25 says, and the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God preaventures, will give them repentance to the acknowledgement of the truth. So those three verses all put in together, it's like, look, I'm going to put everything to God. I'm going to allow God to handle this. You know, God's the source of truth. We're going to go to that. And if people disagree with your stance on that, then be patient. Because if ultimately what you are doing or what you're singing or what you're listening to is right, then God's going to work through everybody else. I think one of the things that we've failed in our discipleship in churches is, or in discipleship in general, just in discipleship, period, is that we have failed to allow the Holy Spirit to work through the lives of the individual. Instead, we're trying to just kind of say, well, this is it. You know, this is what we're doing. This is kind of what we talked about in the last episode where they were like, here's our diagram. This is bad music. This is good music. Well, allow the Holy Spirit to work through that. If they're truly trying to follow God, whoever they may be, if you're a leader, they're going to listen to you when they are following God and they're allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their lives. Especially if you're speaking truth. You got to be speaking God's truth in order for that to be the case. So if all those things are in play, then yes, be patient. God will work through that. So those are some of the verses there. Let me see here. There's a couple of questions here, and I'm gonna ask these questions. This is also for those that are listening to kind of think about. And then once again, I'm gonna ask Trey if there's any one of these ones that he wants to answer. We'll get right into that. First off, the first question is Everson apologizes on behalf of the leaders who used to use fear or pride wearing a Bible verse like a mask. Have you ever been on the receiving end of that or honestly done it yourself? That's the first question that you need to think about. Second question is musical principle versus musical memory. How do you tell the difference when a song from your past comes under scrutiny? And then number three, he says that both the guilt trippers and the so-called progressives who bullied people into music that violated their conscience did damage. Which side do you think our listeners are most likely to have experienced? And then number four, what would it actually look like to disagree about music in meekness? And by the way, meekness is just strength under control. Just remember, that's the definition of meekness. So in meekness instead of emotional defense mode.
Touch on the last one, like the...
Okay.
What would the debate look like if it was handled with meekness? And... Yeah. I think it would look just like this right now, like two people from two different sides coming together, explaining their sides, and just agreeing to stay on both of those sides while respecting the other's opinion and the other stance that they're taking.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot more of that today than there was in the past. Because also, touching on the first one, you were talking about like Everson apologizing and then asked like, have you ever been on the receiving end of an apology, or have you had to make one yourself? There was someone from my past who was one of those people I was talking about earlier, who was telling me like, that's the music that I shouldn't listen to when I was younger. And they sent me a message like a few years ago, just telling me like, hey, I'm sorry, I've seen the impact that that music has had on my grandchildren, and I want to apologize for the way I came at you when you were that age. And you know, that meant a lot to me. It really did, because like, that's the first time something like that's happened, and to this point it's still the only time. Like, it was just so cool to see how things changed over the years.
And culturally speaking, though, again, you know, I think a lot of people are seeing how it stood the test of time. Because that's another thing about the music is, does it stand the test of time? You know, I think we have mentioned them in a previous episode. But if we haven't, I don't want to say something about it now. I think we may have talked about it off screen. There's a particular group of I guess you could say, artists who had come out with some music that basically, for a lack of a better way, the music that they were trying to present, at least, and I'm being very specific about this particular style, because they did other music. I want to make that clear. But in one realm of their music that they were making, they were making music that was trying to entice the Holy Spirit to come down in their hearts, right? And those particular artists, by the way, they were huge for several years, right? But then they kind of went off the scene for multiple different reasons, right? And not saying that this was the one tribute reason why they ended up off the scenes. But one of the things that doesn't stand the test of time is when it's not truthful. We're sitting there as Christians, we want to invite the Holy Spirit down our heart. Let me remind you, if you're a Christian, you already have the Holy Spirit in your heart. So inviting him to come down, he's already here.
Right.
So that was already a problem. The real answer is Holy Spirit, I'm opening up my heart to you so that you can speak to me directly. Not, oh, here's my heart, come on down, you know, that like you're somebody that's like, no, actually I'm coming to you and saying, hey, I'm an open book now. Oh, you know, go through, you know, that was the difference. And I'm just pointing that as one example of like, you know, music. And by the way, that music isn't standing the test of time because I rarely hear those songs anymore. Like rarely on any radio stations or music platforms. Like even the music platforms that I've done some analytics on, like those songs have drastically, and those artists have drastically dropped off in their listenership. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, well then there's an answer. So the other thing is too, when new music comes out, obviously be very discerning about it. Know who's singing it, you know, because as we talked about, Ben's talking about, it's not just one ingredient. It's all of these things. It's lyric, it's style, it's associations, it's the content, it's the intent, it's the fruit of it. The fruit is the standing of the test of time. All of these things need to apply. So obviously something like, for instance, the fruit, when a new song comes out, you're not going to know whether or not this is going to bear fruit yet. It takes time. But the only way that you know how it's going to bear fruit is you got to water it. And in the case of music, you know how do you water it? You play it.
Yep.
You see where it's at, but you also look at its intent. Who made this song? What's the context behind this intent? Who's the person in general? Like, is this somebody who has turn their life around and is like doing what they can to follow Christ in the best way that they know how at this time, because they're like, this is all they know because they just became Christians. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's give them a chance here.
Right.
You know, let's give them something, help them out. Like even go speak. I'm trying to remember. It just popped in my mind and I just forgot all at the same time. There was a, it just slipped my mind, Trey. I'll say this. There was a particular artist back in, he's a well-known artist, and I swear if I can remember the name of him, you would know exactly who I'm talking about. But he came from a particular church group, right? Okay? Which was completely different than most of the where we come from. So, like, he came from, I believe, either Assembly of God or Church of God, right? And at that time, the Baptist movement had nothing to do with it, right? They didn't want to know that. But there was one of the big leaders in the Baptist movement, and again, also name slipped my mind, but I swear to you, if I told you who it was, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay, I just know the story because this was just told to me just recently. Like I know this for a fact. Okay, this actually happened. Okay, but these two people, they were. In a lot of ways, doctrinally not too far off, but like they were still like not on the same page. But instead of this person saying, oh man, I'm writing you off, you're terrible, you whatever, he actually took him under his wing and said, hey, let's talk about some things. Let's, like what we're doing right now, we're having to talk about music, right? We're just discussing it. We're just pointing out, you know, things to think about, right? Yeah. That's all he did. And that person turned around, and I believe, and if I say this and I'm wrong, I apologize. It's one or two people that's coming to my mind now, but I believe it was Bill Gaither that I'm talking about, that was from that group and went on. And he turned out to have some of the greatest music in the last half a century that we have.
Yes, he did.
So and if I'm not mistaken, I believe that's who it is now that I think about it. But if I'm wrong, it's somebody like him. But like this is somebody who like they wrote some great music in the last half a century. So my point to all of this is also, even if we're coming from different points of view, let's not have a debate or an argument, but let's at least ask some questions to think about it, because you know, where are you coming from on this is where I'm getting at. And dealing with what we were just talking about with what Ben is trying to point out here, it's all together. It's the whole package of everything. You know, when we get into this, we're going to get defensive unless we come at it from a, hey, hold on. Let's just let the Spirit work in our lives. And let's just talk about this you know, all these different things that I've already mentioned. I don't want to repeat myself so many times, but like that, I just feel like that is important enough to mention there. So, I had a thought where I was going with that. It kind of slipped my mind in light of what I wanted to say there, but like, I hope that it kind of gets a point across what you were just talking about as well. So, all right. Well, let me see here. Where are we at, Trey, on the time? Like, this has been a good episode here. I don't want to leave it if we got some time here. No, we are pushing. We're pushing that 50-minute mark again. So, so folks, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna let's just talk briefly about the next episode here. We can kind of get an introduction here in the chapter four, I think, for just like a minute. But the next chapter is how does music work? Okay. And the chapter is called How Music Works, The Forgotten Basics. So we're going to talk about in the next episode about three things. We're going to talk about the melody. This is the tune that you hum. It gives you the song. It's its identity. It carries the emotional arc. And so examples of this would be from Scripture, 2 Chronicles 5:13, trumpeters and singers as one, as the glory cloud filled the temple. So these were people singing the melody, right? Then you have harmony. The support system beneath the melody. These are the chords, the background that make the same melody feel joyful, sorrowful, warm, or tense. So like, if you ever heard a song and you're singing along, but you feel really sad, that sadness is coming from the harmony. It's that background chords. Or if you feel really happy and joyful, like, you know, like Trey and I are all the time.
Absolutely.
Right? Always giving it. Yeah. You know, music like that. It's because of the harmony. That's what's bringing out that. So an example of this, Job 38:7, the morning stars sang together. So it's kind of like, you know, the stars in the sky are, you know, are the nighttime, they're your melody, but in the morning, they're kind of fading off, but they're still there. It's that background there. And then there's the rhythm. This is the fun one that everybody loves to argue with. And that is the beat or the pulse. It controls the time. That's all it is. Every song has to have rhythm. It all has to have a beat. It all has to have a pulse. I don't care what song you're singing. There is a beat to it. So when we look at it, it controls the time. It's a part of the music that most directly affects the body. And it does. Psalm 150, timbral and cymbals, rhythm and biblical praise, but always with intentionality and balances. That's from his book. So we're going to cover this in the next episode and hopefully maybe even get another chapter in before we close out and run out of time. But Trey, any final thoughts, anything you want to say to close out with this today?
Just, I am loving this series. Like, I'm so excited. Like, this was one of the topics that when you brought up to me, I was so excited. So
folks, you when we sat at the table together and we were discussing topics, this was months ago, and he saw that, he was like, that one. Like, that one, are you sure? Yes, that one. He was like, he was like a little kid in a candy store.
I was like, I want that one.
Yeah. That one, yeah, that was Trey. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry, I just wanted to just say that because, like, it was very funny. I do remember that.
I'm loving this, talking about the history of where we were to where we are now, like all the way from Bill Gaither all the way to Brandon Lake. Like, it's such a cool thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we're going to get into more of this in the next episode, dealing with chapter number four, or dealing with the how the music works, and hopefully maybe even get into chapter number five. But come back next week. Remember, I need to say this again, like, follow, subscribe wherever you're at. Truth Over the Noise. Okay. Wherever you're listening to, that way you can get the latest episodes as they come out. Check us out on our website, truthoverthenoise.com. We are doing our best to update that as often as we possibly can. With new information, new things, we can do that. So I've been working hard on that in the background. So hopefully we'll have some more stuff. I do want to mention now, I'm still planning on and working for I know this is just for a select group of y'all out there, but I am still working on getting a Discord set up for y'all to have like a little community with Truth Over the Noise. It's on our end, it's set up, but it's not set up for the public yet. I'm still working on that. So I'm hoping, intentionally hoping, that by the new year, we will have something. That is my goal. Because there's a lot of other fish in the frying pan right now with everything else going on. For those of you that don't know about me and TIO Radio, we're going to be, in fact, Trey's going to be coming this year. We're going to be at NQC here in just about a month.
Yeah.
A little less than a month now from when this episode airs. And so, yeah, we're very excited. NQC, by the way, is the National Quartet Convention there in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. They do this every year at the end of September. And we've got a lot of interviews and other things popping up. So that's the reason why, like, I'm having to bide my time between this and that. So Discord has kind of got pushed to the back burner, but we are going to get something going. Yeah, I'm very busy. I have lots of things going on. Work multiple jobs, multiple things. It's a lot of fun, but you know what? God's been good and I can't complain. So I'm happy about all this. But we're going to get this going hopefully here in the new year, the Discord. So I look forward to that. And that will be a better way in which we can have a more personal conversations with y'all as things, you know, like you can, you know, comment, you can talk to us. We can have like conversations, general conversation, you know, all that. Again, we hope to have all that set up here, by the end of the year. So, or start of the new year. So looking forward to all that. All right. Well, yes, I know you are. Well, Trey, again, it's been another exciting episode of Truth Over the Noise. I look forward to us doing another one here very soon. And obviously, with that, it'll be here next week for y'all. So make sure you come back next week to hear the newest episode of Truth Over the Noise. Once again, I'm Nathan Woltman, TIL Network Director, and Trey Cochran, one of my best friends here, helping me out on this podcast. We'll catch you again next time. God bless. For more information about Truth Over the Noise podcast, go to truthoverthenoise.com or tilradio.org. You can find more information there. And this has been a production of Truth Over the Noise podcast and TIL Radio Network.